Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's there, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols family attorney Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, you know, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A man suspected of killing two women in Green Bay is arrested in Arkansas. The women's bodies were found inside an East Side apartment Sunday morning. Police say evidence of the scene made them think right away the suspect had headed south. In fact, Arkansas police caught him in a traffic stop by mid-afternoon. Police say double homicides are rare in Green Bay. PFAS pollutants are getting lawmakers' attention. A state Senate committee is holding a hearing today on proposed regulations for the forever chemicals. They're used to make a lot of useful plastic products, but they're polluting Wisconsin's soil and water. Right now, PFAS are not regulated in Wisconsin. Governor Evers, for one, says he wants to change that. In sports, the Bucks host Charlotte tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
you could nominate your D-bag of the year. Got a nominee for us?
There were so many of them, as we can tell. I had to go with the ranked choice system. Okay?
I like the way you think, Rico. Okay. What else you got?
Rojo.
You know, listener poll. I think this nominee for D-bag of the year pretty much sums it up.
Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I just want to share with you before I bring my next guest on. I've had an opportunity to interview a lot of different people in a lot of different instances over the years and with courage. And, the woman that I'm bringing on next is as courageous a person as I've ever met or had an opportunity to dialogue with, especially over the airways. And, you know, none of us get through this life without having our hearts broken in some way, shape, or form. But it's what you do after the tragedies that occur in our lives. And all of us, none of us are going to get out of this life without having to deal with something in the way of a tragedy. That is part of the human experience and human condition. But sometimes those things can be avoided. Other times, they can't. But in this instance, I want to bring, and I talked about this, I think it was week before last or last week, a young man, 19 years old at the time, named Cade Reddington, a student at UWM with his whole life ahead of him. And looking to do some wonderful things in his life, and his life was cut short, unfortunately, by fentanyl that he did not know or expect, to happen in his life, and unfortunately took his life before he even had a chance to live. And so his mom, Miss Michelle Coleman, who has handled this as well as anybody could from the standpoint of fighting for his memory, fighting for others who have been impacted and affected by the scourge of fentanyl that is just all over this nation. And I want to introduce you to Miss Michelle Coleman, the mom of Cade Reddington. Good morning to you. How are you?
Hi, Earl. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so honored to have you on the airways. And after our conversation yesterday, I'm even more respectful of who you are. But I want you to begin by talking about your son, Cade, and who he was, and then we'll move from there.
Yeah, Cade was this incredibly spirited child. And Earl, you know what? I'm getting feedback. I can hear myself talking.
Oh, you
Is
can.
Is there any way to fix that?
Yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
So, Connor, can you hear me? Okay, let's see if you're fine now. Are you fine now?
Okay, let's try this again. Yes, okay, I'm fine now. Yeah, right. It's hard to talk when you can hear the echo.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Yes, okay, yeah. So, I mean, Cade from the get-go was just this incredibly spirited child. He was such a bundle of energy. From the very first parent-teacher conference when he was a kindergartner to all through high school, every parent-teacher conference was, well, Cade likes to be really social. He was just the most outgoing kid. He would talk to anybody and everybody and make friends with people so easily. And he was the type of person that when he walked into a room, like the energy in the room would shift. And he'd come in with his big smile, hey, everyone, how's it going? And he just had this really great way of being present with people. And he loved so many different things. He wrestled in high school. He played tennis. Prior to that, he had played football and basketball, had tried all different sports. But, you know, he really ended up being a wrestler and loving wrestling and wrestled on JV and varsity in high school. And he loved snowboarding. He loved skateboarding. He loved his friends. His favorite thing to do was go skateboarding over at Warner Park at sunset and then go to the sunset at Governor's Island with his friends. And he had so many friends, too. They all loved him. He had a way of making friends with anybody. But, you know, Cade wasn't perfect either. He suffered from some depression, and it was never bad enough where he felt suicidal. But, you know, I think one of the things that he started doing was doing some self-medicating to deal with some of his depression.
Which is not uncommon or unusual for young people in a society like the one we have today. It's different than when you and I were young. And yeah. So there's so many things. One thing that I always say about, you know, this technological world is that it's opened up a lot of things to young people that they may not be ready for. And we can't, you don't get a chance to protect your child as much as I had an opportunity to protect mine from many of the problems of the world. Because technology is and cell phones and all those other things are a big influence on children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think where things started for him was when he was in middle school. It was the vaping. Mom, everybody's vaping. It's just water. It's not anything. Everybody's doing it. So it was that constant battle of finding them and punishing him and taking his phone away. And you know, it was relentless trying to deal with that vaping. You know, and then I think from there, he probably started trying some marijuana. And I didn't even know about pills. So, he was drinking like a lot of high school students do. And he got into a little bit of trouble with his sports eligibility. And he really wanted to get his sports eligibility back. So he started going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings with a friend, the junior year of high school. I was like, why are you going to NA meetings if you're not doing drugs? And he said, oh, it's the same concept. He's like, I just want to stop drinking because I make sure I, you know, don't mess up anymore. So he started going to these NA meetings, and he was so proud of himself. He got his 90-day chip, and he wore it at school, and he was talking to all of his other friends that were dealing with issues and was so supportive. People have showed me messages that he sent to them about just taking it one day at a time, and that's all you got to do, and, you know, just concentrate on what that day is ahead of you. And then COVID hit, and, you know, meetings stopped, but I thought we were done with that. I thought that was just the phase that he went through. So when I got that call on November 4th, 2021, that Cade died from a drug overdose, I said, there's no way he wouldn't do that. Like, he knows better. Just, I was, Lord, it was the furthest thing from my mind. He had just been home the weekend before. He came and worked at my business with me all weekend. That night before, I took him back to the Badger bus to take back to go back to Milwaukee. We had dinner together. He told me how he had just met with his advisor and was going to switch his major to psychology and philosophy because he wanted to go into counseling and drug and alcohol counseling to help other people. He told me how he wanted to travel to Hawaii and travel the world. And I mean, he had plans. He was going to have a huge impact in this world, and he got robbed of that.
So it's safe to say that Cade is not your only child?
Yeah, my other son is Ross, and Ross graduated last spring from UW-Madison, and he is a second lieutenant in the Air Force. He did ROTC at Madison.
So for those of you who are just joining us, I'm joined by Ms. Michelle Coleman. She is the mother of Cade Reddington, who is a young man who's gone too soon, who lost his life, I think, what, November 21st?
November 4th. No,
November 4th of last year from a fentanyl overdose. Certainly
fentanyl poisoning, yeah.
Poisoning. He did not know that a pill that he took was laced with fentanyl. He's one of thousands and thousands and thousands of young people and others who are impacted and affected by this scourge in this country that unfortunately people are starting to address in many instances too late. But what makes this story so different is that Judge Jennifer Durrell, who is a candidate for the state Supreme Court, her son, these are allegations, has been accused of selling the pill that caused Cade Reddington to lose his life. Again, these are allegations. Nothing has been proven, and his mom, Michelle Coleman, wanted to have some thoughts and to give some backstory to what happened to her son. I think it's critically important that we get that, and before the election that is going to be taking place on February 21st. Listen, we've got to go to a break, and I want you to hang on, Ms. Coleman. We're going to give you your opportunity to paint the picture that is in your heart and is indelibly painted in your heart for the remainder of eternity about what took place. So we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Highs level off around 10 above this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 2 above. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 23. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently 6 below.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Michelle Coleman. She is the mom of Cade Reddington, a young 19-year-old man with his whole life ahead of him, who unfortunately died on November 4th from a fentanyl poisoning. And we're here because there's some circumstances that surround her son's death and answers that need to be made. And certainly for her and her family. And I'll let you take it from there. Michelle, you You start trying to get some answers for your son's loss of life. Let's take it from there.
Yeah, and then just to clarify, Cade was 18 when he passed.
Oh, 18.
He was just
yes.
3 weeks shy. Yeah, he was 3 weeks shy of being 19.
Okay.
So the day after Cade passed, I had opened my house up to kids who said they wanted to come and give me a hug, and I had probably 50 kids show up at my door. And that was the first time I heard the name Michael Doro. And one of the kids that was out with Cade that night on November 3rd had some details about this Michael Doro. And any bit of information that I got, I would just feed immediately to the police department. So I started, talking to as many kids as I could to piece together what happened and when did he start using drugs again? I didn't know this. Like, how did I not know? And, I interviewed a bunch of the kids. But like I said, I just fed it to the police department and was hoping that they were just going to be doing their work. By the following summer, he passed November, then by the next summer, I was watching this show on Netflix, it's The Pharmacist with Dan Schneider, and it was about a true story about this dad whose son got murdered during a drug deal in New Orleans, and the police weren't doing enough to investigate it, so he took things into his own hands and was able to solve his own son's case. So I got inspired by that. So I was like, I'm sick of waiting. I'm going to just, do my own interviews and, re-look into this. So I invited all, kids who had information back and took really good notes this time and gathered up pictures that I had and everything and, again, submitted that to the police. But the story that comes out is really what Dan Bice wrote in his Journal Sentinel article was that that evening that they went out, Cade was with some friends and they were pre-drinking in the dorm room. And apparently, according to the kids, Cade said, "I want to get a perk," which is a Percocet. "I'm going to text Mike." So apparently he did text Mike because then they went to this Axel's bar before their plan was to go to Club Miramar that night to go to, they've got music and it's college night. And so they went to this Axel's across the street, and then his friend saw him texting with Mike, and then Mike shows up outside of the bar, and Cade ran outside to meet with him. And his friend saw him shake hands with him. They didn't see the actual exchange of anything, but they saw him shake hands. And then they went into Club Miramar, and apparently, Michael was not allowed to come in. I don't know why.
Meaning the son of Judge Doro.
Yeah, Michael Doro, yeah. So he was not allowed into the bar. But Cade and his friends went in. And then my ex-husband and my son and I, a couple days after Cade had passed, when we went to go clear out his dorm room, we went to Club Miramar and we were able to talk to the owner. And, we were trying to find the video from inside that night to see what happened because he told me that, he told us that the bouncer walked into the bathroom and saw Cade consuming the pill. So Cade was asked to leave. It makes sense. And, Michael tried to create a narrative with some other friends the next day saying, Cade brought the pills back from Madison and he tried to sell them to me. But that doesn't make any sense because if he had it earlier in the day, why would he have waited till he was in the club to take it? It just didn't make any sense. And then why would he be saying that he was going to text Michael to get this pill if he...
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Another Memphis police officer has been disciplined in the Tyre Nichols case. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
A Memphis police officer identified as Preston Hemphill has been suspended for his involvement in the fatal beating of Tyre Nichols. He's been relieved of duty with pay pending an administrative hearing.
Five officers have already been fired and charged with murder. Three fire department employees also fired. Dicey weather from Texas to Pennsylvania. Here's WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Actual ice storm warning for some major cities like Little Rock to Pine Bluff. Jonesboro is included in this. Memphis, Tennessee as well, or cross over towards Jackson and Lexington.
President Biden is ending COVID-19 emergency declarations on May 11th.
What this means, though, is that things like vaccines and treatments will no longer be covered by the federal government and then will be covered by insurance, and prices of those are expected to go up significantly.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus. This is CBS News.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address reminded folks how he's steered the state economy back from the pandemic recession.
Over the last 4 years, unemployment has hit record lows, and we've had the highest number of people employed ever. Our state has a AAA bond credit rating for the first time in about 40 years. That means we're able to get lower interest rates and save your tax dollars. Our general fund and rainy day fund both ended the last fiscal year at the highest levels ever in our state's 175-year history.
For Republican legislators trying to take some of the credit, here's a gentle reminder. You sat at home on a paid vacation for over 9 months last year. Evers provided a detailed plan. Republicans offered the usual cliches and a tax cut for the rich. To learn more, follow us on Up North News Radio, weekdays 6 to 8.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Fry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Fry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Michelle Coleman. She is the mom of Cade Reddington, young man who lost his life, unfortunately, on November 4th due to a fentanyl overdose. And so you were saying, I'm sorry, Michelle, before we went to break, you were talking about the fact that you, your husband, and your son had just went to UWM mm-hmm. to get all of his belongings.
Yeah. Yeah, so we gathered up his belongings, met with the police department, and then we went to lunch at Oakland Euros, and Club Miramar was right across the street. So we went over there to just see if we could find anybody to talk to, to see if there was a video, what they've got for video cameras and such. And so the owner was there. And so we went in to talk with him. And then what we were told is that their backup system for their outdoor cameras that night just happened to not be working. But he did have video cameras from the inside. So we got to see Cade and his friends come in. So, you know, I think they got there a little after 10. And then at about 10:35, Cade went into the bathroom where apparently the bouncer walked in on him when he was in the process of using his pill and asked him to leave. Then my understanding is Cade tried to get back in, but they wouldn't let him back in then. And so then he rented a scooter, clocked back into his dorm by 10:50, and he went and found a girl that he was friends with and told her that he took a perk and felt yucky. So then he went back to his dorm room and laid down on, I was told it was a beanbag chair. Apparently in the medical examiner it says a futon, but it's in the point. So he laid down and the sweet mates thought he just, you know, went to sleep, but didn't realize that he was dying and until it was too late. And by the time paramedics were called, they administered 5 rounds of Narcan and they couldn't bring him back. He was pronounced dead in his dorm room in Sanford Hall.
Well, I mean, you probably relive that almost every day of your life.
Yeah, I dreamt about it again last night after Wisconsin Right Now posted his medical examiner's report on their website, and I had never read it before. So, yeah, that was haunting me last night.
You know, with all the things that you're dealing with, one of the conservative radio shows kind of trashed you and your son recently on the air. I'm sure you probably weren't ready for that. Let's talk a little bit about what it feels like to have people insensitive towards what you and your family have gone through because they want to make sure that a conservative person winds up on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I expected internet trolls that I've seen before calling people that die of drug overdoses or fentanyl poisoning junkies. And I expected some of that when I knew the story was coming out, but not to be slandered on a talk show. That was shocking. The morning that the article came out, a friend texted me and said, oh my gosh, Dan O'Donnell is talking about Cade right now. And I had never even heard of Dan O'Donnell. So then she said what station to listen to. So I tuned in. And I mean, it was shocking to hear him talking about my son who's passed on the radio. It was the furthest thing I ever expected to happen. And then creating this narrative that he didn't know, like, he didn't know our side of the story. He was just creating his own narrative about what he thinks happened without knowing the truth. And I was incredibly frustrated. We have to go back to get a little bit more background on this. So in the Dan Bice story, it starts off with David, who's my ex-husband. His encounter with Jennifer Doro at Pedro's Mexican restaurant on Tuesday night, it was after the day after the there was a debate in Madison. And David wasn't involved with all these conversations, you know, and he didn't know about my letter that I had sent, except that I had told his new wife about it. So he didn't know that there was a Pints and Politics event going on that night.
So you sent a letter to a Judge Jennifer Doro, a letter that apparently you didn't get any response from.
Correct. Yeah. So I think it was even before the Daryl Brooks case started, I had called because I wanted to get her email address. So I called her courtroom to see if I can get it. And they said, we don't give that out. And they said, we can leave a message. And I said, okay, sure. And so I left a message and they said, what's it about? And I said, well, just tell her it's Cade Reddington's mom. And you know, I never got a return phone call. And then about a month later, then I just decided I'm going to just reach out. Like, this is a prominent family, and they need to know what. Like, and I had no, and at this time, too, I had no idea that she was planning to run for Supreme Court. Like, I'm not in Milwaukee. Well, if there's talks over there about it, I knew nothing about it.
Right.
All I knew is she was just a circuit court judge. So, and that her husband used to do consulting for Homeland Security because I looked him up on LinkedIn. So I'm like, this is a prominent family. They need to know what their son's relationship was with my son. So I gathered up all the evidence that I had, and I really wrote it like a victim impact statement. And just talking about how, you know, their son was one of the last people to see Kate alive. I have a Snapchat with them at 9 o'clock that night. I know he was one of the last people to communicate with them. And yet he hired an attorney and is refusing to be interviewed by the police. And I have this picture that Michael posted on this VSCO social media account of a picture of him and Cade. And he said, I miss you every day. But then he took it down a couple of days later. I put that picture in there. I'm like, why is somebody who's claiming to be his friend refusing to be interviewed by the police? And I just said, you know what, if all I'm asking is for Michael to be interviewed by the police and tell the truth, and if he didn't do it, he doesn't have any, if he didn't sell him the pill, he doesn't have anything to worry about. And if he did, I'm sure you can strike an immunity deal and have him turn in the higher drug dealers. So, I'm sure Michael's a small piece of the puzzle.
So for the sake of clarity, again, there are allegations. None of this has been substantiated. The other part of this is the other part of this is also that Michael Darrow was not a student at UWM.
Right. Yep. He was not a student, but he was using what the kid. Well, this is again allegedly, but the kids told me that he was using a fake ID to get into the dorms. And hanging out in the dorms. So that was how Cade and his friends met him, because I believe he went to Marquette High School. So I'm sure he had a bunch of friends that were in the dorms, too. So he was down there hanging out. I don't know what he was doing for a job.
Okay.
And
So we'll go back. You certainly wrote this letter. Your ex-husband saw Judge Darrow at an event and asked to speak to her. I guess let's fast forward to that.
So the letter got sent before she even announced she was running for Supreme Court. So then I just want to clarify this. Once I couldn't believe it then when she announced she was running, my head spun. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, she knows this about her son, and someone's paying for an attorney to protect him. He hired an attorney and refusing to talk to the police, and I was dumbfounded that she was running. So I thought, well, maybe her husband didn't share the letter with her. So I sent another letter to the courtroom, just appealing to her as mom to mom, saying, look, at, you know, maybe your husband didn't share this letter with you, but as another mom, like, I'm sure you can understand like what I'm going through. And I want your help in getting some justice here. So anyways, that went
nowhere,
unanswered as well. So then what happens? So David, who's kind of been out of the loop on all this, he just happens to be at Pedro's, and I know he was not set up to be there. He knew nothing about it. I was at the Badger basketball game, and I get a phone call from David, and he never calls me. So I was freaking out that maybe there was something wrong with their other son. So I'm shaking. I'm like, why is David Reddington calling me? And so I texted him. I'm like, I'm at the Badger game. Is everything okay? And he said, I'm at Pedro's and Jennifer Darrow is here. Did you send a letter to them? So I showed my friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to go call him. So I called him. Yeah. So I forwarded him the letter and the picture flyer that I put together of all my evidence. And I said, oh my gosh, you should talk to her. And he said, oh, I'm going to. David's my ex-husband.
Yes. Go ahead.
So then he, somebody at the registration table gave him a name tag. So, and so that he could like then come into the event, but this wasn't until after he like just came upon it. He didn't sign up to go to the event. He didn't go there because of the event. He went there to go have dinner with another couple. So anyways, I think he was waiting like for her to clear out, and then he went up to talk to her, and he's from Waukesha originally, so I guess he was making small talk with her. And then she's like, oh, I got to go. And he said, well, wait, before you go, I want you to know who I am. I'm David Reddington. I'm Kate Reddington's father. And then she said, we're not talking about this. And she turned her back and left. And apparently he said, well, wait a second. Your son knew my son. And I guess he walked out to the car trying to talk to her, but she wouldn't engage in conversation with him.
You know, that clearly there have been questions. Dan Bice, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, kind of exposed this story. I don't know. It was late last week, and part of what he said was that, you know, in response to a lot of these things, Judge Darrow has said her son is not running for Supreme Court. So, in essence, why are you bothering me with this? You know, I'm the person running for Supreme Court. My son is not, so she couldn't understand, in words, she couldn't understand why this is an issue.
Yeah, and, you know, it's part of the Ambice's story,
your thoughts on that. Your thoughts on that, on that.
Well, and this was told to me before she was running for Supreme Court, so this is about being a parent. She apparently, the kids saw 2 weeks before Cade died that she had sent a text message to her son that said, are you still dealing drugs? And he posted a screenshot of that on his private Snapchat story. And, you know, and there's talk about, well, what, you know, Dan Bice didn't produce that. Well, it was a Snapchat story. It goes away within 24 hours. But at least two of the kids that I know saw that. They had no reason to make that
but
up.
But again, these things are allegations. And
yes.
So
these are allegations.
Yeah, they haven't been corroborated.
But again,
go ahead.
Yes. But those kids, they first told that story to the police, to me, you know, months ago, or, you know, well before she was running for office. This is not political. The kids were just talking about what they saw. There would have been no reason for them to make that up. So I guess what my concern is that here's somebody who knew that her son was dealing drugs. Brian, her husband, you know, was an ex-cop and worked for Homeland Security. He knew about the fake pills. So they knew their son was dealing drugs. They knew about fake pills and the opportunity that you can die from one pill. And he was still out there dealing drugs. And then now my son is dead and somebody's hired an attorney. I don't know if Michael can afford his own attorney or who's paying for the attorney. So I guess those are just questions that I would like to have answered, and I want the truth.
So our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My guest is Michelle Coleman, and she is the mom of Cade Reddington, the young man who unfortunately lost his life through fentanyl poisoning on November 4th of last year. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 540 AM WAUK. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Lots of sunshine this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 10. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 2 above. Daytime highs approaching 23. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently 6 below.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
All the time I've been building my castle of love.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. My guest is Michelle Coleman. She is the mother of Cade Reddington, again, a young man who lost his life, unfortunately, way too soon on November 4th from fentanyl poisoning. And so as we start winding down on all of this, you know, you have, what do you want the listening audience, as they are from across the state of Wisconsin who are listening to this, what do you want them to get out of your story and Cade's story?
Well, my platform since the very beginning has been about building awareness of this fentanyl crisis and how it can happen to any family. And it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic background is. This is touching everybody. This is a scourge on our society, and we're losing tens of thousands of people every single year to this. And I feel that we need all of our elected officials to understand the severity of this crisis and to be presenting solutions. So I guess the frustration with, you know, this whole situation is that here we have somebody running for Wisconsin Supreme Court who's not willing to address this and answer these questions about her son's potential involvement in that, or even to say, you know, he has nothing to do with this, and this is all wrong, and this is why I've talked to him, and this is what I know. But we're not getting any of that. We're just getting silence on it. So I guess, how are we going to fix this problem if we have our elected officials that aren't willing to talk about it?
You know, I think that there's no question that you deserve answers to these questions. I remember talking to you on yesterday, and you couldn't get law enforcement to delve into this, so you kind of did it on your own.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not. They are. It's just not moving as quickly as I would like it to. So, and again, I got inspired by seeing another dad who solved his own son's case. So I just decided I needed to do a lot more of my own homework on this.
So if you had Judge Doral in front of you right now, again, not Judge Doral, but mom to mom, her son is about the same age as what your son was. What would you ask of her?
I would ask her and say, I would like you to convince your son to go and have an interview with the police and just tell the truth. The truth is the only thing that's going to set that man free now. He, you know, why not just get this done with figure out what your consequences are going to be, or tell the truth. If he didn't sell it to him and he knows somebody who did, then we want to hear the truth. I want the truth of what happened.
You know, as a person coming from the city of Milwaukee, where there are many moms whose children have been murdered, and you always hear the moms say, we want to know the truth. Why is that so important?
Just to understand, I guess, you know, for some sense of solace and justice and being able to move forward in our grieving process. Like, just to know why, what, why are people doing this? Why are these drug dealers trying to kill our kids? I know why it is, because it's all about addiction. But I think it's so important just for parents to just to understand, to give some sense of peace of, you know, what was the cause of your child's death?
So what would you say to people who are listening now, who are saying, why are you doing this now, Judge? Judge Darrell is a candidate for the state Supreme Court, and you're interfering with her opportunity to win that seat. Because there are people out here who actually think that way. I don't. You know, it's ridiculous to me to think that there are people who will put aside the tragedy of your son and ignore that because they want to make sure that a conservative. Another conservative winds up on the state Supreme Court and that they can keep their majority.
Yeah, well, you know, I just have to tell you, like, I didn't do anything. The circumstances led us to this. The timing just all worked out here. So I wrote the letters. She decided to run for Supreme Court. Somebody leaked this because I had told friends and, you know, other moms that who lost their kids to fentanyl that talk about their kids' cases. I told people what was going on with my son's case. So somebody leaked it to Dan Bias because they thought it should get out. Somebody else thought it should get out there. We didn't come out with this. Somebody else did because they thought it was important. And now we're just answering the questions. So I didn't do anything to make this happen right now. Somebody else did because they thought it was important.
You know, there's no question that it's important. And for people who, you know, may think that it's not, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll certainly talk about it on the other side. What do you want to say as we get ready to wrap this conversation up to those in the listening audience?
I think it's really important to, like I said, just be aware, talk to every adolescent that you know about the scourge of fentanyl and how it is in every single street drug right now, and that really starting to use any type of drugs is pretty much a death sentence because you are either going to get addicted or you could die from first-time use. I mean, there's so many kids' stories that I'm hearing that take half of a pill and they end up dead. So this is a huge crisis that our country is in, and we are losing so many beautiful young lives, and so many families are being destroyed because of this.
And where can people reach you if they want to, your website and all those things?
Yeah, well, I created a website in CAIDS Honor. It's called CAIDSLight.org. There's a way you can reach out to me there. So it's got, you know, information about CAID and about the fentanyl crisis. There's a lot of resources on there as well.
Thank you.
And all the advocacy work, too.
Yeah, and thank you very much from the depths of our heart. Our hearts go out to you and your loved one and your family and remain strong and resolved, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. That is Ms. Michelle Coleman. Mm-hmm. When we come back, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What say you? We'll be right back.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.